It seems like everything is cyber this and cyber that these days.
Right.
But when we actually get past the buzzwords and look at cyber warfare,
Yeah.
the potential is fascinating, but kind of scary too, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely.
That's what we're digging into today with Jean-Jacques Halland's Cyber Warfare and Terrorism.
Okay.
Is this big one, this digital doomsday, something we should actually be worried about?
It's definitely something that keeps strategists up at night, that's for sure.
Right?
And what's so interesting is that this whole idea of cyberspace,
Okay.
this battlefield made of information, it
Yeah.
actually comes from art, not the military.
Really? I would not have guessed that. What do you mean?
Well, think about 1982.
Yeah, okay.
William Gibson publishes Burning Chrome, and suddenly everyone's imagining cyberspace, this whole world separate from the real world.
Right.
It was fiction, but it predicted how our world would be connected
Wow.
through information in ways that nobody really understood back then.
It's like he predicted the internet and everything that comes with it. Like the potential for cyber warfare.
Exactly.
But how can you even define cyber warfare? It's not like troops landing on a digital beach.
You're right. You're right. Defining the battleground is half the battle in this case.
Yeah.
Even early definitions, like in the US Code, focus on information as the main territory.
Okay.
Whoever controls the information, how securely they control it,
Yeah.
that becomes its own weapon.
Right.
It's less about physical attacks and more about control,
Yeah.
manipulation, or even just keeping that crucial data away from
It's
others.
like that game, capture the flag, but the flag is access to a power grid
Exactly.
or financial markets
Yes.
or even just the ability to sow chaos and doubt.
You got it. And then the US Code, in Title 10 specifically,
Okay.
it links cyber warfare directly with military action.
Okay.
But here's the funny thing.
What's that?
Even when those actions are acknowledged in the physical world,
Right.
any cyber involvement is rarely confirmed.
It's very hush-hush,
It is.
very cloak and dagger.
Yeah, like Zibrazevin, but with code instead of Aston Martins.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So speaking of real-world examples, how does Stuxnet fit into all of this?
Okay, so,
For those who haven't heard of
yeah.
it was a computer virus that was used to physically disrupt Iranian centrifuges.
Right. Stuxnet was a turning point, for sure.
Yeah.
It showed the whole world that a digital attack
Yeah.
could have real physical consequences.
Yeah.
It wasn't just about stealing information anymore, it was about causing real damage.
Right. And it was damage to equipment in the real world, not
Exactly.
just like data loss or
Yeah,
something.
right.
And what's fascinating is that nobody ever officially took credit for it.
Right.
It was widely believed to be a U.S.-Israeli operation,
Yeah.
but it was never confirmed.
I'm now
And
confirmed.
that just highlights how secretive cyber warfare really is.
Exactly. And that uncertainty, not knowing who attacked you,
Right.
that's a powerful weapon in itself. It
Yeah.
makes it really hard to know how to respond.
Yeah.
So you have Stuxnet, which was a very targeted attack,
Well,
almost surgical.
then you have things like WannaCry and NotPetya,
Right.
which seem to hit kind of randomly
Yeah.
and cause global chaos.
Yeah, those were definitely.
Think about what happened to Britain's National Health Service.
Oh, right.
Targeting industrial systems is one thing,
Yeah.
but when hospitals are attacked,
Yeah.
it feels way more personal, you
It
know?
really does. And that's where it gets hard to tell the difference between cyber warfare and cyber terrorism.
Right.
Both can disrupt and cause damage,
Yeah.
but terrorism wants to scare people
Right.
and use that fear to control whole populations.
Yeah, it's about the psychological impact just as much as the physical damage.
Exactly.
And the scariest part is you can't really escape from cyberspace.
That's true.
It's not a physical place, it's how we live now, you know?
Yeah.
It's how we connect to everything. So when it's attacked, it feels like a really personal violation.
Absolutely. We rely so much on digital systems that
Yeah.
it makes us incredibly vulnerable.
Right.
And there are so many potential weak points.
Yeah, that's true.
Hallens' article mentioned this database of software flaws.
Okay.
It's called the Common Vulnerabilities and Exposures Database.
Okay.
And when he wrote the article, it had over 170,000 entries.
170,000.
Yeah.
That's like saying there are 170,000 ways someone could break into my house.
Right.
Except in this case, it's not just my house, it's everything.
It's true. It's
So
true.
how are we supposed to stay ahead of the bad guys with so many vulnerabilities?
It really is an arms race. And what's even crazier is that sometimes the weapons used in these attacks were actually developed by governments themselves.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Like the Eternal Blue exploit,
Okay.
it was reportedly created by the NSA, but then it leaked out.
Wow.
And it was used in both WannaCry and NotPetya.
So the same tools that are supposed to be used for, like intelligence gathering or whatever,
right,
could get turned against everyday people.
It's definitely a risk. It's a real Pandora's box.
Yeah.
It raises a lot of tough questions.
Right.
When a government develops these cyber weapons,
yeah,
how do they make sure they're not misused?
Right, right.
It's like, how do you put the genie back in the bottle once it's out?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
So with all this talk of cyber warfare,
yeah,
and all the chaos it could cause,
right,
have we actually seen anything like a digital Pearl Harbor?
It's the big question, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
something that changes everything overnight.
Right, exactly.
We've seen how damaging these attacks can be.
Yeah.
Like Stuxnet and WannaCry.
Right.
But none of them have caused that kind of lasting damage.
So are we being paranoid? Is Cybergeddon not really a thing?
I wouldn't say that. It's not about downplaying the threat.
Yeah.
It's about understanding that it's more complicated than just waiting for one big attack.
Okay, so it's more nuanced than that.
Exactly. And remember, a lot of those big attacks we talked about,
yeah,
they happen because of preventable flaws.
What do you mean?
Like WannaCry, it spread so fast because people weren't updating their software.
Oh, right.
They were ignoring basic security updates.
So it's like leaving your front door open.
Exactly.
And then being surprised when someone walks in.
Exactly.
Not very exciting, is it?
No, not really. But it's an important point.
Okay, I see.
A lot of this isn't about fancy new attacks.
Right.
It's about taking advantage of basic mistakes.
Right.
And human error.
So basic cybersecurity is important. Got it.
Yes, absolutely.
But what about the bigger picture?
Okay.
How do we get ready for this new kind of war?
That's where things get really interesting.
Okay, how so though?
It's not just about having the best firewalls or anything like that.
Right.
It's about understanding that cybersecurity is connected to everything else.
Like what?
National security, for one.
Okay.
Economic stability.
Right.
Even our social fabric.
It's almost like we need a whole new strategy.
You do.
For this new type of battlefield.
Exactly.
One that recognizes that this isn't just about computers.
Yeah.
It's about psychology, economics, even the way our societies work.
That's exactly right. It requires us to think differently.
Okay.
We need to move past traditional ideas of borders and physical space.
So it's not just about building stronger defenses.
Right.
It's about understanding the rules of a game,
yeah,
that are constantly changing.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And instead of asking if a major cyber attack will happen,
right,
the real question is, what changes the game next?
Yeah. What's next?
What new technology? What vulnerability?
Right.
What's going to keep us up at night a year from now?
It's kind of unnerving when you put it like that.
Yeah, it is.
Like trying to predict the next earthquake. But in this digital world, that never stands still.
Yeah, it's a moving target for sure.
So where does that leave us, you know, the everyday people who depend on this digital world every day?
Right.
Are we supposed to learn how to code now?
Huh? Not necessarily.
Should we wrap our laptops in tinfoil?
You know, a lot of it just comes down to being aware and taking responsibility.
Okay.
Think about it. You wouldn't leave your front door unlocked, right?
Right. Of course not.
It's the same idea here. Keep your software updated. Use strong passwords.
Yeah.
Those little things make a huge difference.
Okay.
It's like washing your hands during flu season. Not exciting, but it works.
Right. Exactly.
And just like we need to work together to deal with global health crises.
Right.
We need a global perspective to get ready for the future of cyber warfare.
Yeah.
It's about countries working together.
Yeah.
Setting clear rules for behavior online.
Right. Right.
And having honest conversations about what these powerful technologies mean for all of us.
So it's not just about countries stockpiling cyber weapons.
Yeah.
It's about realizing that we're all in the same boat in this hyper-connected world.
Exactly.
Because an attack on one country could easily spill over and affect everyone.
Absolutely. It could disrupt trade,
right,
mess up communication, even shake our sense of security.
It's a good reminder that there are no real borders in the age of cyber warfare.
That's right.
So, as we wrap up this deep dive,
sure,
what's the one big thing you want our listeners to take away from this?
I'd say knowledge is power.
Oh, yeah.
The more you know about the threats out there,
yeah,
the vulnerabilities and the motives behind them, the better, yeah, prepared you'll be.
Right.
And the more we talk about these challenges,
yeah,
the better chance we have of making cyberspace a force for good, not a weapon.
That's a future worth fighting for.
Absolutely.
So to everyone listening, stay curious, stay informed,
right,
and maybe think twice before you click on that suspicious link.
Good advice.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into cyber warfare and cyber terrorism.